Worldcon continues. Loncon 3 continues, of course, the World Science Fiction Convention, the 72nd World Science Fiction Convention. Do you know, I haven't managed to attend any of the panels as yet. I've been so busy doing the audio promenades and the interviews and the whole range of things. It's only now I've had a chance to speak to a true legend who's going to join us now. He is, of course, the eminence grise of science fiction literary publishing, literary agent extraordinaire. It's John Jarrell. John, how are you?
I'm very well. Thanks, Alex.
You've just been sharing an event here. Share with us. How did it go?
Yeah, very good. We had a panel about horror fiction, and we had three horror writers, one editor and myself, who has been an editor and an agent, talking about the genre. You know, does Stephen King and Anne Rice and Clive Barker overshadow everybody else? What is horror? How is horror sold? Has it lost its way? So all of those areas. A lot of new writers there who are asking very interesting questions.
We've already heard the excitement by which George R.R. Martin's presence has been greeted within the whole thing, including actually getting a sound clip for Channel 4 alluding to Jon Snow, which is very exciting. Jon Snow in Game of Thrones. Yeah, could happen. Looking at the dealers, as I say, we've looked at the British Interplanetary Society. We've seen everything on the floor from Tiki Daleks right the way through to the excitement of Tribbles. Can't do a good convention without Tribbles and so on. Have you had a chance to have a little soak up of the atmosphere yourself, John?
I've been in the dealer's room, saw some very old friends there from the US and the UK. I've been in so many meetings and on so many panels. Did a lovely panel about Ian Banks yesterday. That I haven't had a chance yet to just relax and look around. I hope to do that on Sunday when I've kept it a little bit freer.
Yes, as I think we were just sharing before we started the machine rolling, I think it's certainly it was overambitious to assume that we can do anything other than a little audio postcard from the event in terms of the day we're actually covering today. I'm always tempted to actually return. We'll just have to wait and see what actually happens. But there is a good feel to it. I mean, one or two folk from Sci-Fi London, we were just sharing the thoughts with Louis Savion and his mum, etc. Clearly, this is an event which is not ostensibly set up to make money. It's for fans, by fans, and it's very much a case of celebrating the fantastic nature of the genre.
Yeah, all conventions are run by volunteers. Nobody gets paid to do this. We do it because we love it. All the authors, all the publishers, all
the agents. Inspired them.
Yeah, and you just want to be there and help it. I was a fan for 15 years before I became a professional. So for me to be able to give something back by doing this, it's a thank you back to the genre, which has made me love it for over 40 years.
And in terms of that whole balance, I mean, we can debate about this, and we will continue to do so, about where do we pitch science fiction, how it develops. And clearly, we've got cosplay here, we've got a whole range of other facts. We've got filk, so science fiction, folk songs, etc. A lot of literary material that's actually around. I've spoken to people who've been prime believers in the Almighty. We've got people who are complete atheists. We've got a whole, literally all philosophies and schools of thought are actually there. Also quite a nice line of academic stuff that's actually here. This does seem to really have captured everything spot on in terms of really celebrating the human condition.
The World SF Convention is very different than any other convention, not just because of its size, but yes, because of the broad scope that it has. Somebody who is their first convention, this is, was saying to me this morning how delighted they were to see the academic stream. And that's the thing, you've got so many different streams. There is something for everybody. You don't have to go and see it all. You can't go and see it all. There's too much. But there's a lot of stuff there that anybody, whether they are a writer, whether they're an academic, whether they're a wannabe writer, whether they're a cosplayer, there is something there. And we get this World Convention once every 10 years. So Carpe Diem, seize it.
Very much so, and very apt in these post-Robin Williams days of actually quoting that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's horrific that both Robin and Lauren Bacall have died in the last week. You know, two people who I've got huge admiration for.
And as I keep reminding folk, as we said in our tribute session on Siren this week, Arlene Martell, of course, who was T'Pring in the original series Star Trek, Spock's wife.
Yep, absolutely.
But, you know, they're looking down, I'm sure, and will be considering all sorts of things. Or, in the words of Ian Banks, he might be surprised given his sort of views when he was actually here.
He was a great and good man, a friend for 30 years. And we had a panel about him yesterday with the guests of the convention. It was great just talking about Ian and celebrating and remembering. One of the greatest writers I ever worked with, certainly.
I'm not sure we'll have time to touch base on another one of our colleagues from Times Past, Brian Talbot, who's also on the guest of honour here. Obviously, his fabulous illustrations based in Sunderland, on Alice in Sunderland, and, of course, Granville, very much to the fore.
Yeah, absolutely. Brian was on the panel yesterday about Ian. He actually fell down after Ian had plied him with far too much whiskey.
Which sounds like Brian.
Which is not the only time Ian plied people with whiskey.
I remember actually driving Brian back to Sunderland from a gig at the University of Lincoln a wee while ago. He's probably forgotten or blocked it all out of his memory now. John, what does the rest of the next few days have in store for yourself? Is it a case of obviously taking the opportunity to press the flesh, seal the deals and do a whole range of other things?
It's not so much sealing the deals, it's talking to publishers about what's coming up. So they are pre-primed when it appears. It's seeing my clients. I've got about 30 clients here, so I'm seeing them. I'm having a private party for the 10th anniversary of the agency tomorrow afternoon with all the publishers, all the authors I represent.
If you'd invited us, we could have actually stayed for a second day. No worries.
And then, yes, I'm on three more panels. I'm doing what they call a cafe clutch, which is basically where I sit down and people ask me questions, and I'm very happy to do that, because anything you can tell want-to-be writers about how it really works, I think has to be a good thing.
We spoke to Titan Publications, their editors were over here. We spoke, obviously, we've seen Golanch there. We spoke to a few other zones, etc. This is a field where actually it's becoming more like most expos, etc. When we're here for the London Boat Show, of course, that people, companies really need to be seen here as much as actually sort of, you know, to convince people that they're still in existence.
Yeah, I mean, it's the 40th anniversary of my first Worldcon, which was in Washington, D.C. And although there were publishers there, they were much lower profile than they are now. Partially because some of the publishers started out as fans, so they've done conventions for many, many years, and it's a part of their DNA. But equally because there are now 10 publishers doing science fiction and fantasy in the UK. There were only 5 10 years ago. So it's a growing genre, and there is elbow room. You've got to get the elbow room there.
Which is obviously one of the reasons why we're delighted to actually celebrate this, because it also ties in to something else which is close to both of our hearts, and that's Lincoln Inspired. And a little reveal for you now, sneak preview for the listener as well, we're considering, we have a meeting next week, actually introducing a science fiction symposium to also run together with Lincoln Inspired next year. Do you think that's a goer, John?
I do. It's a big market. I mean, science fiction and fantasy is 10% of all paperback fiction sold in the UK. It fascinates many people who don't think of themselves as science fiction fans, but they love Star Trek, they love Star Wars, they love all the things involved in that.
Avatar, Guardians of the Galaxy.
So many things. And, you know, superheroes are a part of it. I think it's one of those areas that is growing, absolutely, and fascinates every new generation.
And finally, as we sort of begin to conclude this sort of exciting time here in terms of the 72nd World Science Fiction Convention, got to look ahead. We wouldn't be doing science fiction any justice if we didn't really look ahead, although we're not talking about predictions here. We're speaking to a couple of people today who are looking to put in a bid for Dublin. Just explain the process by which the bids go in and how people can support it. Because Louis Savvy, obviously, with Sci-Fi London, we've just spoken to him earlier, and he was talking very much about how he was very much key to support the third LunCon event, third time it's actually been in London in terms of the 72-year history of the event and so on. What's the process? Is it like the Olympic Games?
Well, basically, you will have 2 or 3 bids, usually, and it's 2 years in advance. So in the build-up to that, the people who are bidding will have to go to the city they're thinking of, will talk to that city, might even talk to the Prime Minister of the country, get the background sorted, get the venue sorted, start talking to possible guests, so that when it comes to the 2-year bid process, then they and anybody else bidding, any other cities bidding, will talk about it to the assembled multitudes. Then there will be a vote, and that's when you decide 2 years hence where it's going to be.
So just like the Olympics, really.
Exactly, except there are
without obviously the shenanigans.
Exactly right.
And looking ahead, next year, Lone Star Con, Texas?
Yeah, absolutely. There is also a World Fantasy Convention every year, which is around Halloween. And both of those are fascinating. They're completely different. World Fantasy is much smaller. But I love Worldcon. I tend to go to it every year as a publisher for 15 years. I've been to it several times now as an agent. And it's my family.
In terms of the other sort of side of things, DragonCon was mentioned as being a lovely fan organisation in the States. That's coming up very shortly. We've obviously had the San Diego convention, San Diego Comic Con, that's developing from that. I said earlier to Alison that you'd been persuading me, or trying to persuade me, well, maybe not, but suggesting I went up to Glasgow to sort some of the events there. So I'm getting more hooked into the whole thing now. Where should we actually head off to? What's the next? I mean, are we looking at DragonCon if we're going international, or are we still sticking to some of the fabulous events that are taking place in Britain? BFI have a screening coming up shortly of all SF stuff.
I think both. Every year at Easter is the National British SF Convention. That's always fascinating. It's the biggest national convention here. There are more conventions now than there ever have been before. When I started going to conventions, there were 2 a year. Now there are maybe 20 in the UK. WorldCon is always fascinating because it does cover so many topics. World FantasyCon is fascinating. There's a World Horror Convention, which is equally fascinating. So you can't go to them all. It's about picking and choosing, but certainly have Investigate, which you can do online now in a way you couldn't do 20 years ago.
Do you go to Andicon for celebrations of Gerry Anderson? Do you go to the science? It's very confusing. But as Farah Mandelson actually said, I think she's delighted, certainly in the 20 years or so she's been actually involved with the whole system from that point of view, that she's seen a growth not only in terms of exhibitors, dealer rooms, a whole range of things. It's big business, but at the same time, you're keeping the heart.
Absolutely, and you're seeing a lot of young people here. You know, it isn't an aging audience. There's wonderful second and third generations.
John, as you know, I always use the term experientially enhanced or chronologically gifted. We don't use the A word or the O word on these location reports.
Fine by me.
John Gerald, it's been splendid touching base with your good self. See you again in the Siren Studios very before too long.
You will, Alex. Thank you very much.
As if the 72nd World Science Fiction Convention wasn't mind-blowing enough, I've suddenly stopped by stand 66B, The Great Cosmic Show, with a gentleman wearing a T-shirt which has the statement, "Physics gives me a large hadron." A good colliding joke there. Good to speak to you. And how are you?
Hi, I'm very well.
And your name?
I'm Dr. Alfredo Carpinetti.
Now, one of the key things that I've been very impressed with is the balance between science and science fiction that this has got in the event here. What we've got here are a whole range of smashing galaxies. Talk to us about the Great Cosmic Show.
Well, we came out with the idea science fiction is really important for science because science fiction can bring all the imagination, but at some point we need to deal with the real stuff. When we put together the Great Cosmic Show, we thought to balance out all the different ideas that are being used in science fiction, from general relativity, dark energy and dark matter, galaxies. Earlier today we had life molecules and alcohol in space, so we are trying to bring a range different range of scientists and ideas to the convention.
Just as folk are beginning to get used to the universe, the multiverse emerges. And clearly we've also had the notion of, I think it's referred to as the bubble theory, that basically
yes.
There are bubbles that come through and rather like sort of soap bubbles, the universe is being formed as we speak.
Yes, we have many hypotheses trying to work out not only what is outside the universe, but how the universe forms and where it's going. Quantum mechanics and relativity stops at the Big Bang. So until we work out the next big idea, we need to keep imagining what those ideas could look like. And multiverse can explain a lot of concepts in quantum mechanics, is often referred as the many-world interpretation of quantum mechanics. And the concept of bubble universe could explain how universe formed from a series of Big Bang, a sort of cosmic Darwinism.
The weight of nothing is on the poster behind you, 6.4 times 10 to the minus 30 grams per cubic centimeter. Interesting.
That represents the density of dark energy. There is no place in the universe which is completely empty. Everywhere in the universe there's always a little bit of energy, and that energy is quantified as dark energy, and as you said is 6.4 10 to the minus 3 grams per centimeter cube.
Share with us which universities you're involved with in terms of obviously getting this message. I mean, I see Imperial College London is very much to the fore there, so that's excellent.
Yes, I'm from. I just finished my PhD at Imperial College London, and I had work on galaxy mergers. And for today, I had a soapbox talk about smashing galaxies, both referring how galaxy colliding with each other, but also how pretty they look when they do that.
Absolutely. I must admit, I have said frequently today, one of the reasons I did a science degree actually at King's College in chemistry and biology was because I was inspired by science fiction. Was that one of the reasons you went to Imperial College to actually do a physics degree and so on?
Yes, I was been into science fiction since I was little, and when I was 10, my parents got me a telescope and a big book of astronomy, and then
never look back.
Never look back and continued enjoying science fiction and enjoying science.
And finally, this pick a free universe. I mean, I feel, in essence, we really need to take one home to the studio, except for this point of view.
Absolutely.
Talk to us what we've got here.
So, you might have heard of the echo of the Big Bang, the cosmic microwave background. What we did usually is shown as a flat oval pictures. What we did is putting on an inflatable balloon so everyone can have a look at the cosmic microwave background in 3D as it's supposed to be.
Which is fantastic. Seven of a whole, the universe got one, literally has got a universe in one's hand. It's fantastic.
Well,
we shall sort of inflate it in and do all sorts of things there. A reminder, a website if people want to find out more about the great cosmic show it is.
You can find more on Twitter as at Enzon Universe. Or through one of the professors at Imperial College, www.robertotrotta.com.
From the multiverse, many worlds theory, with expanding universes and such like, we've now come into a place which is a little oasis of calm in the main room. It's Stand 57, it's John Clute's study, and we're speaking to...
I'm Stephen Jones.
Steve, talk to us about why you decided to actually take up residence in this particular quiet area.
I was walking around and getting rather tired, and there's a number of benches around dedicated to famous science fiction fans who died. Like there's
a whole range of folk there, etc.
This is John Clute, who's still very much with us.
Well, I was going to say, exactly, last time I heard he was still sort of functioning from that perspective.
So I don't know why there's a bench in here. It is handy, convenient for me. There's all these items around, all based on John Clute words, like adumbrated, Huxian, words you don't normally hear in everyday life.
Well, we just have, and you've brought us to that. Why are you actually at the 72nd World Science Fiction Convention? Is it a case of pleasure? Is it a case of meeting old friends, family? Is it a case of modelling your fantastic Barry Allen Flash t-shirt?
It's a number of things. It's about 20 years since I last went to a Worldcon. There was one in Glasgow 20 years ago. And it was set in this aircraft hangar, a Zeppelin hangar. It was an enormous roof with clouds, like, up in the air. And it's been, it may well be the last one I go to, because they're very big and very tiring.
Absolutely. We were speaking to John Jarrell, of course, who's one of the team of the fantastic folk who's actually organised it. It's just the third one ever in London. It's been my first, actually, World Science Fiction Convention, so just providing a flavour of the event itself. How do you feel it lives up to expectations?
It's been very good. Previous Worldcons I've been to have been a bit chaotic, whereas this one, they do seem to know what they're doing.
Steve, I'm sure that'll be passed on in every sense of the word. And most fans also have, you know, their own writing backgrounds. Do you write yourself? Have you got other productions in the pipeline, or are you simply just a consumer?
I'm a fan at the moment. I did have a few things published about 20-odd years ago, but mostly I've just been reading.
Science fiction has obviously been rooted in magazines from Hugo Gernsback, Astounding Stories, onwards. I'm currently at the stand which has got the wonderful letters L-O-C-U-S. Of course, it's Locus. And we're speaking to two fabulous folk who are currently sitting in looking after the whole thing. And they are?
Karen Gussoff.
And?
Vicky Saunders.
Karen, clearly this is a fantastic event for London. It's the third World Science Fiction Convention held at London. How do you feel it's been going?
Excellent. And this is my first trip to London as well, and I'm just having a wonderful time. They've done an excellent job setting up Worldcon, and it's been really welcoming.
We like to think of it as a bit like the Olympic Games, but with more science fiction fans.
I don't think there'll be a lot of sport because of the science fiction fans, though.
I don't know. I beg to differ. There are all sorts of things there. Now, looking at the range of magazines we've got here from Locus, just share with us in terms of why it's essential science fiction reading.
Well, Locus is actually the professional magazine for science fiction writers and fantasy writers. So it's the publication that's going to list upcoming publications, books, other magazines. It's going to list editors that are changing houses, definitely business issues, agents that are retiring, and things like that. So it's sort of essential reading for anybody that wants to be a pro in the field.
Certainly, it's those of us who read the mammoth book of science fiction produced regularly by Gardner de Zeuss and various other things is partial to that, and much needed within the SF world for budding writers and so on.
Absolutely. It is essential for those that want to enter the industry, because you can start to see who's working where and the sort of the pattern of the business and start to educate yourself, really, because half of writing is getting your stuff submitted and sold and seen and on the right desks and reading Locus is a key component to start to recognize those names.
It gives your writing focus. You could use that. Locus gives focus. Just a line there. In terms of the sequence, any particular favorites for yourself? Any particular favorite authors that you have?
Oh, you know, I'm in love with the our deceased GOH, Ian M. Banks. He's one of my favorites. But so many favorites. I mean, Nicola Griffith is a favorite of mine. Ian McDonald, who's also here somewhere at the convention, is a favorite of mine. Particularly River of Names. Like, I can't evangelize that book enough. So, and you know, what's funny is I'm an American, but all three writers I just mentioned were all Brits. So
it's a special relationship. Works in every sense of the word for that. And what about yourself? Any favorite writers for yourself?
Don't forget Joe Walton and Neil Gaiman.
How could we? How could we in any way, shape, or form? Ladies, it's been fantastic touching base with your good self. A reminder, Locus obviously available online as well. Access for the website it is?
Is locusmag.com.
When I decide to see a poster which says, keep calm and be inspired, clearly it's a case of, well, this is just wonderful. And then we meet the even more wonderful soul whose name is?
Sarah Jane Slack.
Sarah, you of course know of Lincoln Inspired.
I do indeed. We were actually fortunate enough to be able to run a workshop at Lincoln Inspired as part of your Kickstarter. So, right at the forefront.
Well, we're already looking to Lincoln Inspired 2015. And a little sneak preview here, as we shared with John Jarrell earlier today, and indeed Dave Bradley from SFX Magazine, we're looking to actually have a sci-fi themed symposium working within that. Hopefully you'll be interested in taking part in that as well.
Absolutely. We were quite disappointed that more members of our team weren't able to get to Lincoln last year. But next year, definitely on the cards.
Brilliant. Share with us today, of course, second day of the 72nd World Science Fiction Convention, the third one in London. How's it been going for yourself?
Very well, actually. This is actually the first Worldcon that we've been to, and actually the biggest convention that we've been to by an order of magnitude. It's great. We have some sort of things on the stall that are actually interactive. So we have a try your luck with actual wax seals, which took me 3 weeks to make, and I have the scar to prove it. And we also have a versus board, so we have, you know, Anne McCaffrey versus David Gemmell. Put a sticker on your favorite. The Borg versus Daleks. So we're having the second round tomorrow and the final round on Sunday. Personally, I would quite like a final with Anne McCaffrey versus a Dalek, because why not?
Yeah, Zara, I think you're absolutely of my same mindset. I mean, this sounds absolutely splendid in every sense of the word. In terms of the event itself, I mean, the last time we were actually here was for the London Boat Show, and in many ways this is even more exciting because you've got such a range of inspirational stuff that's coming out on with this space. It's very important from your own perspective to get authors and product out there as much as possible, of course.
Absolutely, and I mean, we do work very, very hard as a small publisher. It's a lot of man hours, shall we say, trying to, you know, get our name out. And we're also a social enterprise. So in a couple of years, what we would really like to do is do creative writing workshops in disadvantaged areas. So for children, people with disabilities and single parents. So we find it really, really important to get our name out and talk to people. And we have a sign up saying, you know, if you want to pitch something or talk to us about your novel, please do so. We're very, very into skills development, which, again, is why we're so interested in Lincoln Inspired.
Folk who are listening to this online on southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com or indeed sirenonline.co.uk will probably say, right, how do we get in touch? We can't make the 72nd World Science Fiction event, so we're not around from that point of view. How do they get in touch with you? Is there a website?
There is absolutely a website that's sort of currently under construction, but is still there. It's www.inspired-quill.com. And my personal email address at Inspired Quill is sjslack@inspired-quill.com. And we actually very much welcome any questions that people might have about Inspired Quill, about the publishing industry. One of our mission statements is that we are very, very hot on skills development and helping authors hone their skills. So something that we're very passionate about is helping people develop.
Sarah, it's been a genuinely inspirational little piece to wrap up with today. Name check for some of your colleagues who are also on the stand, who you actually successfully sold me the posters, which is quite right, Lisa.
Fantastic. So with us this weekend, we have Ben Hennessy, who's actually his second book, The Whisper of Dreams, which is a sequel to Queen of the World, is launching this weekend. So this is sort of a very big event for him. We have with us Matthew Munson, who wrote Fall from Grace and Leap of Faith. And we also have David Wilkinson, who wrote We Bleed the Same, which is our first sci-fi novel.
We which brings us full circle back to the World Science Fiction Convention. Have you had a chance to have a wander around yourself? I've been pretty much on duty dealing with the media and all sorts of things here.
Well, I was able to have a half an hour walk around, and I came back and the stall wasn't on fire, so I might try to do that tomorrow again.